Basically, I've become quite a believer in using social media to research and share out your research, and also to bring in pretty much every aspect of research can be done through social media. And I would argue much of it should be done through social media, because that's just a good way to be bringing in the rest of the world, and just to make sure that you're, at least you've got channels open, line of communication open to all the other experts out there. Now, of course, not everyone is using social media, but I've found that it's really worth a try, and I've had some really good outcomes from, I've done 3 projects so far now, research projects, where I relied heavily on research, on social media, and I've had very good outcomes. And in fact, one outcome was been invited to conferences, one of them in Singapore, and they paid for me, so I mean, this is pretty good, you know. I'm going to show what are the research tasks, what the cycle of research, and also then go through, I think I've got about 10 or 12 online social media type tools that you can use in these various aspects of research. And I'm sure some of you are familiar with some of them, you might not be familiar with some of them. It's going to be a bit of a whirlwind tour, but I just hope that the ideas might be percolating away in your head, that you might think, oh, maybe we could do that. Maybe I could, you know, check on this. So because it's a community that you folks are working in, it just makes sense for this to be done online so that more people can access it. I'm assuming you mentioned oral history. Well, if they're on tapes, then they'd have to be converted to MP3 format in order. But it just makes sense if you could get some help for that to be done. Photographs, if they could be turned digital, and any kind of documents, if they could be scanned, and then if these things could be shared online, then in this way, you can put what you know online, and then you could say, does anybody know what this was? Or can anybody help, you know, who was using this allotment? Who's interested in using an allotment? And this is how you can both kind of discover more. And then you'd be surprised. You start asking questions out there, people come back with answers, and suddenly your research work is becoming easier. And this is what we discovered with manufacturing pests.
Can I say, I'm going from a background where I run a quite complex website. Mm. But I'm kind of seeing that people are really starting to work a lot in more the sort of Facebook whole thing. Mm. I mean, how big a shift has gone over into social media? You know, if I'm moving away from just using a website, I mean, you know, could I generate quite a good percentage extra or different usage by using social media?
Certainly. Having a website is really the way to go. I mean, I started out by showing you guys my website, and that's part of the university website. You need a place to post your stuff. You need a place to bring everything together. Yes, I put those things on YouTube, but YouTube isn't the only place I want people to go to find out about my stuff, because there's context that you write. It's not just the video. You want to have some explanation about it. So that's why we put it together in a website where we describe the project. We describe what we were doing. It brings context to the whole thing. So I think the website is really kind of essential. I mean, if there's absolutely no money, you can get around it. But if you've already got one, perfect. Then what you do is you bring people to your website.
So you put Twitter or Facebook.
Absolutely.
Because I kind of wonder what the balance is. It's just I noticed my daughters communicate.
Yes.
It seems through all these other means, and I kind of feel I'm starting to get left behind if I don't.
Yeah, no, communication, yes, but where are you going to bring them to? Your website. So, yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
So you can use it to drive up the traffic to your website.
Definitely, yeah. Definitely, yes. And you may have other places that you might put some of your stuff besides your website. There are, you know, as we go through, you might say, oh, I could do that. But what you could do is you can always embed them in your website. You can have, you know, visit us on Flickr or something like that. But, you know, then they come back to you. So, okay. So I'm going to start with Flickr. How many of us use Flickr? Okay. All right. So... I didn't bring my camera with. So Flickr is it's a place where it's free. You just they just changed it, 100% changed it last week or 2 weeks ago. Who noticed that? I was like shocked. I think it's better in that you get way more free space now. So let me just see if this will take me to our Flickr site. So basically what Flickr is, it's a free place where all you need is a email address to start your own account. And you just start putting your photos on there. So let's see. It's so different that I'm not even sure how to use it now. Let's see. Photo stream. Okay. So these are some of the photographs from our Manufacturing Paths project. Now, our project was we had to digitize these photographs, and we put them on an official university database where they've got all the metadata that explains, I don't know if you know Joan Skinner, but how she took these photos of the you know, factories or wherever they came from, the year where they were. So this is Frog Island, what, a couple years ago. I think that car wash is now out of business. It's just gone out of business, hasn't it? It's like at least there was a little bit of life there, you know, with that. But actually, I don't know, Frog Island's not so bad. I walked through all of there last summer and took photos, and I thought, there's a lot going on. It's kind of reindustrialization, you know. Anyway, so what I was trying to say is we have an official library place for all of our photographs, videos, everything. But we put most of them on Flickr as well, just because, why not just our website? Because our website is new. People didn't know it. More people know Flickr. So, but what you do is somewhere in your profile, you put a link back to your website and you explain your project. Okay? Which is what I did. Although, can I find it now? I don't know. Yeah. So here I explain it. And then I put a link to our website. So that's how I would do it if I were you. If you've got loads of photographs to share out. And then what happened when I started sharing out our photographs was, one criteria of the work that we did was... everything had to be copyright open. So we used Creative Commons non-commercial attribution. So we put these things out there for free. Anybody can use them. But we just say, just please give us the credits and don't try to make money off of it, you know, so without talking to us first. So that's what we did. And our funder stipulated that we had to make our materials open like that so that people could use it in education, and that makes sense. So, but what I did was I started finding on Flickr, I started searching on Flickr, not just posting, but I started going, you know, Lester Industry. Well, you just find tons of stuff. And I started kind of... making friends with these people. I found out who the photographers were, and then I would send them messages on Flickr and say, you know, I'm doing this project on Manufacturing Paths. I would love to use your collection of pubs that have disappeared since the 1980s in our materials. Would you be willing to change your copyright so that we can use them in our materials? And this one guy said, yeah, sure. He changed his whole online presence to Creative Commons copyright. So that's a wonderful example of how... you can increase the community by using social media. And another thing you can do on Flickr is you can join a group. So I joined the Lester Industry group. So in other words, it's not just individuals' stuff on Flickr. We've joined a common group called Lester Industry, where anybody who's interested can also join the group, and they can post their photos together. And it's sort of like a common interest, you know. So this is, again, a good way to make connections with other people who are interested in this sort of topic. Now, how many of us here use Facebook? Okay. Yeah. All right, so quite a number. Have we met this site? Do any of you here run this site? Okay.
No.
Okay, all right. Well, this person who started this, they used to have their name showing. Well, they've now hidden their name. And I think the reason is because everything up there is copyright messed up. It's like these things are probably copyright locked down. They're from these books. There's a book, Memories of Lester. And basically they just went through and scanned everything and stuck it up on Facebook. So I'm sure that's against the law, technically. But you know, they're beautiful images. And who's going to really complain? So anyway, that's how they've hidden their name. But they sure get a lot of attention. I mean, look at that, you know. I just find these things beautiful. So, and what happens is, so the way he does it, I'm pretty sure it's a he, this is a Facebook page, okay? So he, and that's how you get this like. So you create a page, you make it about your topic, and then, so then, how can I say this? If people want to like your topic and your page, they like the page rather than becoming your friend. Okay? And that's how you separate it off, because most people want to keep their private life, you know, private and have your grandkids' photos or whatever separate. And, you know, and only make friends with those that you choose to. But sharing out your topic kind of semi-professionally, so you do it like this as a page. There's another way to do it, and that's a group. And you can make a Facebook group. And the way a Facebook group works is that it's free and open. Okay, how can I say this? I think someone asks to be part of the group, and you say yes. If you created it, then you have all power. You grant them access, and then people can discuss things on there. And and once they're in the group, they can put whatever they want on there. They could say, this group is horrible. But if you created the group, you can cut that off. And this is what people do, okay? And I know because I run them. So so here's ours. This is my department. This is our page. We have both a page and a group because I couldn't decide which is the better way. I'm still not sure which is best. This way is a little bit more like you're kind of broadcasting it, page. A group is a little bit more like we're all discussing, like we have a discussion board. So you can think about your research purposes and which one is best for you. So you can see what, whenever I do a blog post, I put it here. And then my colleague also, she just adds interesting things, and you can't see it here. I should have, I don't know, it was some kind of quote, some inspirational quote from somebody that kind of encourages research and encourages inquiry. And so, just things that are interesting. We just post them and you just get more people to kind of come and keep engaging with you. So it's just a little technique for Facebook. Okay, how many here use Twitter? Okay, so, right. Is anybody here, History Needs You? Matthew Ward? Is Matthew Ward in the room? Okay. Because of Manufacturing Past Project, I was always sending out tweets about Manufacturing Past, and I got all these historians starting to follow me. And that is how you get the word out. What you do is, okay, if you're going to start using Twitter in earnest,
what's the benefit of it?
The benefit of Twitter is that...
What's the angle on it, really?
Okay, yeah. The angle on it is very fast and short communications. As you know, it's only 140 characters per tweet, right? Is there something about Judy Garland? There's something about Judy Garland going on right now. And this History Needs You guy is just putting all sorts of photographs of Judy Garland out there just to get some discussion and interest in Judy Garland. Maybe he's got a project going on with her. Oh, yeah. I know that this links to this picture. That's Judy Garland when she was 14 singing. Why don't I just go right to that? Let's see. Okay. Yeah. So this is him.
That's true.
Yeah.
Old kitchen, so it's not tons.
And here, now he links to his website. Yeah? So... what I use, to me, Twitter has been the most valuable research tool of any of these that I'm showing you today. And the reason is because with just short bursts of communication, and that means not a lot of time investment on my part, I was able to connect with experts, real experts around the world in these topics, as long as they're also on Twitter. Obviously not everybody is. But and in that way, you can actually have a dialogue with some of these people. I mean, for example, I'm Twitter followers with the head of school of museum studies in this university, which is museum studies in this university is pretty much, from what I've heard, the best department in the UK, bar none, because everybody in it is absolutely international in their scope and in their, you know, in their profile. So how would that head of school and I be talking? If I phoned him up, no way. I'd never get past the secretary. If I sent him an email, it would go straight to the bin. But when I sent him a tweet, he replied. And we actually got into a conversation. I was able to get the information I needed from him. So that's one angle on Twitter. How do you find these experts? You do have to spend a bit of time on that. So all you have to do is go up into that search box and put in the word history. Click the find, and you will find all the different people who are talking about history, and then you could see who's saying something that interests you. Follow them. A lot of these people, as soon as they see that you're following them, they'll follow you back. Then you've got a great contact right there, you know? And just kind of build it up from there. And if you don't have a lot of time, just spend 20 minutes a day on this, 10 minutes a day. And to me, this has really been the best. Then when you write a blog post, tweet. When you post something new on your website, tweet. And then these people who are following you, they'll click on it, they'll come to your website, and seriously, this has been fantastic, you know. Okay, blogs. We all know about blogs. I won't spend a lot of time on watching. I'm watching our time. I've only got about 5 minutes. I have to say that after Twitter, a blog is probably the best thing you can do as a researcher, because basically you're writing about what you're learning, and you embed a photo. I really encourage using images. It draws people. It just makes it look nice. You can, if you post something on YouTube, you can embed that in your blog, and this is free. So I really like WordPress, but I've also used others. I think Google has one called Blogger, which is also nice.
Can I just ask you a question?
Certainly.
Because I write a blog and use a lot of photographs. I understood, and I'm wondering now whether I got this wrong, but I understood that the photographs need to be hosted somewhere. So, for example, I put all my photographs on Flickr.
Mm.
Is that true?
No, I don't think so. Although it's not. If you want people to go and look at your Flickr stream, then that's a nice way of drawing them there. You could bring it in there from there. But WordPress has a way where you just go, like you click on the thing for media, and it says upload media. And as long as you've got your photo on somewhere on your computer,
you just navigate
to it, and then it kind of uploads into like your WordPress environment, and you can use it that time, and you can use it next time if you want.
Okay,
yeah, that's how it works.
So is WordPress a good?
It's kind of the industry standard. I don't know. It's the one that people like to use.
So you just go to their website and start a blog.
Correct.
And I use Blogger, and that's really easy.
Just as easy.
So that's
just as easy.
Just open an account.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Away you go.
Yeah.
All of these things, all you need is an email account.
So blogs, what? So that's kind of mini website. Isn't it?
You know, people use blogs as a mini website. It's just that it's not quite as flexible as the website that you would build. But with WordPress, yes, you can bring in a photo, but you know what you can't bring in is sounds. If you want to host, like, if you want to post, like, a 5-minute interview with someone on your WordPress, that sound has to be living somewhere else, or you have to pay WordPress. So, just so you know, it's not that expensive, but it's a nice way to get, you know, if you have to make a website for your project, it's a nice way to just start one for free, you know, and really easy. You got one in 10 minutes. Okay, Wikipedia. We all know what that is. You know, consider using Wikipedia to write about whatever you're learning, because, you know, then you're sharing out the information that you're learning. You can justify it with by linking to, I think that's, now Matt, you're going to have to tell me, you do have to justify what you're saying by linking to some reference, isn't that correct?
Yeah, so you can see on here that there's actually footnotes,
yeah,
which are quite small at the end of various sentences.
In fact, I'll go to the real one.
References to things like books and sources and things like that.
Yeah.
So see down the bottom, it's got a whole long reference section.
Yes.
And then there's a bibliography, which has just got the sources in it. Mm. Yeah, I mean, you don't have to do that.
Mm.
You can just put content on there which is unreferenced. referenced. But then if it's unreferenced, then...
It might get challenged.
Yeah,
okay,
and
yeah.
In those situations, the person who's challenging it has priority.
I see.
If it's not referenced, then it has to be removed if someone challenged it.
Okay.
So that's
Vimeo is another one. What's good about Vimeo, you can kind of think of it as YouTube for longer stuff. Because YouTube, if you start a YouTube channel, you only get 10 minutes or so. And then if you've been a good girl or a good boy, then they give you 15 minutes. But you can't get very long. And in case you have a long video that you want to put up there, then just start yourself a Vimeo account. And this is what we're using this a lot for. I had a bunch of... I do a lot of work with these kidney doctors here at the university. And this was just a lecture.
The question is, there's an organization which the WHO has set up which monitors sound.
The sound isn't great, but I captured it live at a conference at the Belmont Hotel. So, hey, I did what I could. And it's not bad for capturing it live. So,
so how long have you just been on this?
I've never been cut off. I've got longer than an hour. So I think I've got 2-hour ones on.
And that's
here.
A free thing.
Free,
yeah.
Yeah. The only thing is that they restrict you, like you can only put up a certain number in a week or something like that. I don't know if you've had any experience with that, but once we did a conference and we recorded absolutely everything, and my colleague was just putting them up onto Vimeo, and then it got to the point where Vimeo was saying, stop, put some more up next week, That's the worst that happens to you. So... And you can embed Vimeo in your blog or whatever. Okay, SoundCloud and Audioboo. Think of these as YouTube for sounds. Okay? They're both good. They're both free. SoundCloud, there's no limit on the length of the interview that you put on there. But if you fill up to a total of about 3 hours worth, they will then start to ask you to pay $3 a month. Okay? Audioboo, you can put as many hours worth, but only in 5-minute chunks. Okay? So I'll just show you what I did with Audioboo. So this is one of our interviews. Tess Gracherex used to live over the Walnut Street area, and she was just talking about the community spirit there before the things all changed.
Not about that. So we could play in the street, rubbing top and ball and skipping. I mean, there wasn't cars then. As there is now. I mean, I'm going back, 1936. I mean, from 1934, we first moved down. I think we moved all around till permanently, both of Warner Street, 1941.
That's absolutely perfect.
And then,
And then you host it with Audioboo, and then you just put a link if you wanted it on your blog.
Yes. In fact, you can even embed it. It's so nice. Here, I'm going to show you. Sorry.
Is that a Leicester voice?
She's from County Durham.
Is she? Mm-hmm.
That's what she said. So I don't know what accent that was. Do you guys know? Yeah, that's where she says she's from. And I was just like, everybody kind of takes a double take at her voice. Okay, I also promised some tools for evaluating. And perhaps you've heard of some of these. These are free. SurveyMonkey is the one that everybody uses, and what these are, but Quick Surveys is, I slightly prefer it. Both of them are so easy to use. You can make an online survey in, no lie, 5 or 10 minutes, and sign up free, just the basics. Basically, you say you want to do some online, take my survey on... your experiences with allotments. Would you use an allotment if there was one within five minutes of your house? Things like this. And you just create, my suggestion is have somebody check your questions, because it's, if it's research, it's good to have another pair of eyes, like, do these make sense? Are you asking things in a way which is understandable by the vast majority of people, etc.? Go through. Don't make it too long if you're hoping to share this out on the internet. Keep it short. I mean, if you can keep it to under 10 questions, that's really good, And then, just from here, it just gives you a link, and you could just say, take my 10-question survey on allotments. Help us improve our quality of life in Leicester, or something like that. And I guarantee you'll get loads. And I, like I said, I did 3 research projects using techniques like this, and I was able to post my survey. I post it on my Facebook page. I put it everywhere. And, you know, I got people from all over the world. And you can, it gives you nice, nice data. Problem is, if you really start wanting to make use of the data, or once you go over a certain number of applicants, I can't remember, that's when they start charging you. So just be careful. I think the other one, quick surveys, you can do more for less money with them.
And you see that it says you need to reach your target audience. Can they, do they help you get...
You know, that's where they charge you. I never use that. Because I... Yeah, probably they do, and I didn't.
Yeah.
I didn't want to go there. I didn't have that much money. So I think that might be all that I... Yeah. That is all that I... That I covered, and I don't know if there's any questions or.
Do you have a handout?
Yes. Well, no, I didn't print it. What I could do is go and print it really quick. But are we giving these folks anything, like any links or anything to go to, any follow up?
Well, I guess the idea, what we've done before is sort of collect things from people and send them out via email afterwards. But we could just very easily print it.
If we don't mind, yeah.
Okay.
And also, let me show you one other thing.
If I print them, I'll make them available after lunch. That's probably the easiest.
Okay.
Thing,
yeah.
More time to do it.
This is another good one. If you do presentations in PowerPoint a lot, this is a good place to post them. Post them up on SlideShare. And I ran over here. I was going to post my presentation up here. And I always post them up in such a way that it's free for you folks, for anybody to download. And so that's what I do. So I put all of my stuff up here. And it's possible, if you do presentations, it's possible to load them. And then you can load an MP3. So like, say if I'm able to get this recording from this, I could stick this up with my PowerPoint, and all I have to do is kind of adjust where I change the slides, and then somebody up here for free can get the whole presentation, the whole spoken presentation. So it's a nice little thing.